Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bitter film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then do a bit of a talking about them. My name is Luke Condor with a K. And joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington, ready to do a bit of a talking.
I like your hat, Ben, for the people on the audio who can't see, it's a Stars hat.
From
Rezzo.
Stars, Raccoon City Police Department hat. Picked up at a recent Comic-Con for £5. I'm not selling these hats, before you wonder. Which I thought was bargainous.
Bargainous.
So yeah, I'm repping the Stars right now. Hopefully the nemesis ain't running about, because if he calls out for Stars and I'm here with a hat on, I'm screwed.
Screwed, mate, yeah.
It's not mine!
It was only £5.
£5, and he goes, bargain.
Bargaintageous. So did you call it Rezzy when you were a kid, or Rezzo?
Rezzy Evil, or just Resident Evil, you know? Not Rezzo. Where are you getting that from?
Just trying to remember. I think it was Rezzy when I lived in Leicestershire. Then when I lived in Mansfield, I think it became Rezzo.
Rezzo.
You play Rezzo, mate.
Played a bit of Rezzo. And down south is Rezzo. No, this is not. Resident Evil.
Ragu.
I don't know. I quite like it when you say Rezzo now. I've got no problem with it, Luke.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I'm going to stick to it, I think. Nice Rezzo hat. So we're cracking on with the list. I don't know if you've been looking forward to this one. I don't know if I've been looking forward to this one. I don't know if the listeners have been looking forward to this one. But before we get into number 8 on the list, what did you want to call it? Other guff.
Yeah, so for this section, every week we kind of go, what other horror guff have you been doing? And my answer 95% of the time is, I've been doing no horror guff. And I feel like I'm letting the team down for the Horror Hangout. I'm letting the team down. Because you, for the Horror Hangout team, me and you, because you always watch.
Team Horror Hangout team, yeah.
Team HH. Team HH. So it's like Triple H, but just worse.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm letting the team down. So rather than like make more of an effort to watch horror films, which I should do, we're just going to
change the parameters of the show.
We're just going to change the parameters of the show and call this bit other guff. So that if we've watched other horror guff, you know, it's relevant. But if we've watched any other stuff, you know.
Yeah. Also, if we want to spoil Avengers Infinity War, we damn well will spoil Avengers Infinity War.
We will. I think a considerable amount of time has now passed in order to spoil Avengers Infinity War. So if you haven't seen it, then shame on you.
Yeah,
you don't care enough.
All right, so other guff, guff on your mind?
I've seen a few things this week. I saw Batman Ninja.
Yeah.
So like the animated DC sort of super Japanese anime style.
Where did this come from? Who came up with this idea?
It's a completely Japanese production. So it's made in Japan. With like Japanese obviously voice actors and everything. Obviously they've done an American dub.
Batman. Did he talk like
Batman?
That?
Batman! Well, interesting. So I mean, it's like it's got loads of it's crazy. It just takes like Batman and his rogue gallery back to like feudal Japan, and it puts them in sort of like the samurai slash ninja environment. Loads of really good animation styles. It's not the same style all the way through. All of the characters get like sort of these amazing redesigns, and it's just totally over the top ridiculousness. There's giant robots, there's like musical numbers, there's just it's just
musical
crazy
numbers.
Yeah, well I don't know about musical numbers, it's just got like an inclusion of some sort of like J-pop sounding stuff throughout. There's like loads of monkeys, there's like someone plays the 60s Batman theme tune on a flute.
Is it worth watching then?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, and they do some really interesting stuff with like Joker and Harley Quinn, stuff that perhaps hasn't really been seen before. The way they do it, I guess.
Yeah.
It was very interesting, and then there were some interesting twists, and like the action sequences are just insane. So I really enjoyed it. It was that some of the DC animated stuff I find can be a bit samey. So it was really good to watch something. I find it blurs the lines of what animated feature I've seen of DC, because I'm like, who was in that? What happened there? So it's good to see sort of like a different take on the characters, and it's just a lot of fun. So highly, highly recommended, I'd say.
Did they power up? Did they have like a bit of a powering up stage? Like a lot of animes have that element.
I guess so.
It's the one-upmanship game where one of them goes, I've got this game, I've done this move, and the other one goes, oh no, I'm going to lose. Hang on a second. I've got this move.
Yeah. There's definitely some of that.
The Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah.
Definitely recommended if you're a fan of DC stuff.
I'm a bad man. There's always like the two. That's the thing about anime. Like you can't.
Why didn't they hire you to do the voices?
Because I don't speak Japanese. That's the main issue.
Don't you? Because you just. I was pretty sure you just did.
Yeah.
What have you seen? What gufferage have you guffed?
I don't think I did too many guffs this week.
But, low fiber diet.
So I was on Twitter the other day, and a guy called Keelan Patrick Burke, who's an author, recommended something called Triangle, and I was like, someone's recommended that to me before.
Yes,
and it's on Netflix and Amazon Prime. It's like it's calling to be watched, and I was like, when I saw the artwork, I was like, this. Just judging from the art, judging the film by its cover, it doesn't look like I'm going to enjoy it at all. But I watched it.
It kind of looks like a naff slasher, doesn't it?
But yeah.
It ain't.
So if you haven't seen it, the premise is it's by the guy who directed Creep, the London Underground one.
Yeah.
Which I actually always kind of liked in a sort of weird way. So this one, it's about a woman who's got like a kid, and he's autistic, and she gets on he looks really tired all the time. She gets on this boat trip that she's going on, and then the boat, there's like a storm, it washes the boat, capsizes it, and all the people there climb on this tanker that's going past them. The tanker's completely empty. It's like one of those massive shipping thingamajobbies. And then someone starts killing them off, but then it introduces all these weird time loop sort of ideas. And then just when you think you've got like a handle on what it is and how the time loop works, it suddenly goes like one step more removed, and then becomes one further step removed. It's really interesting. And I was trying to work out like the logics of it, the logistics of like how, if it all makes sense, and I think it does. I was struggling to work out how she ended up, I don't want to spoil anything, but how she ends up on the boat at the start by the way it works. But it does kind of work, I think. I'm going to have to watch it again because it's almost like Primer level of time traveling.
Yeah. It was insane. I remember not quite understanding it and having to read a lot about it afterwards.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it for a long time, but
that was a surprisingly good watch. I gave that 4 stars, I think, on Letterboxd.
Very nice.
Yeah. What about you? Anything else?
Delightful. I did see Ready Player One this week as well.
Was that any good?
It was all right. It was a fairly fun watch. It didn't really feel like a Spielberg film. I think I told you before, I wasn't entirely set on the book. I kind of like persevered with the book, but didn't quite enjoy it to the degree that a lot of people seem to agree. And it kind of, I felt the same about the film. So I felt quite lukewarm on the book, and I felt maybe slightly even more lukewarm on the film. It was like, had some good bits, had some good sequences, but I just didn't really, it didn't feel like I had much of an identity. And I always felt like this was the problem with the book, is the stakes never quite seemed as high as perhaps they were being portrayed to be.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt like that with the film as well. And yeah, there's some great set pieces. There's a particular sequence. It's probably going to be a spoiler if I mention it. There's a particular sequence which recreates
The Shining.
Is that a spoiler? If you don't want to hear about this particular sequence, I guess stop listening for the next 30 seconds. But basically, they recreate a sequence from The Shining, and it's like almost identical to that sequence. It's just insanely good.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
And really cool. And they kind of like, they dial it up a notch and take it to and it's quite horrific as well. Like, you don't really expect it for a film like that it portrays itself to be. But there are some quite horrific, super violent, well, I don't know about super violent, but some super creepy, scary.
They're not real characters, though. Is that about you, my stakes? Like, they're
it kind of felt like, every now and again, I kind of just thought, it's just a game, isn't it?
Mm.
Oh, no, but the stakes are high because of this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just a game. And then you kind of get involved a bit more, but then you kind of get removed from it and go, yeah, is it a game? And they try and, like, marry the tension with the game and the real world stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I kind
of felt
like...
Speaking of anime, did you ever watch Sword Art Online? So Sword Art Online is the same thing as people go into a digital world and a game comes out, and it's brand new games coming out called Sword Art Online. There's kids everywhere. They put their VR things on. But it turns out they've been tricked. So the developers made it so if you die in the game, you will die in real life. If you take your headset off, you will die in real life.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it adds the sort of stakes into it that way. It was good. Very much recommend watching that.
Oh!
Okay, so...
Steady on, Luke, everything all
right? it's the belly button. Other guff. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it. I ended up watching 1922's Nosferatu.
Oh!
Yeah. Which just so happened to be the next film on this list.
That's
so
weird, because I also watched 1922's Nosferatu, starring Luke Condor in the title role.
How creepy. It does look a bit like me.
I'm just joking, but yeah, that's...
You bastard.
Okay. Either of us could pull off a Count Orlok easily. Just a little bit of makeup.
That his facial expression constantly looks like you've turned on like the garden light and you found him shitting in your back garden.
Yeah.
Like, he looks constantly like kind of, shit.
You've got me. Yeah. Lubinek.
His eyes are like super wide and
his teeth are.
He just doesn't move. Yeah, it's weird. Okay, Nosferatu, have you got any details?
Man's got the deets. So, Nosferatu. Translator, it was Nosferatu, or A Symphony of Horror is like the full title, isn't it, for this? So, it's a German, 1922 German expressionist horror film directed by F.W. Murnau, starring Max Schreck as the vampire Count Orlok. Count Orlok, the vampire. Well, that's not his full name. That'd be giving the game away immediately, wouldn't it? That's how you introduce yourself. He expresses interest in a new residence and real estate agent Hutter's wife. Yeah. So real estate agent Hutter. He expresses an interest in her wife. That's a really bad...
Oh, right. Yeah. See what you mean.
Yeah. See what I mean? Yeah. So that's what he does. Bloody pervert. So yeah, it's a silent film. I think we watched a version with like different soundtracks, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, just before we go into that, this is what the Empire film students have to say. Roger Ebert once said, to watch Nosferatu is to see the vampire movie before it had really seen itself. This is Dracula before it became a cinematic legend, before Christopher Lee, before Gary Oldman, before Count Dracula. Though technically not Dracula at all, Bram Stoker's estate refused to grant the production rights. It's perhaps the quintessential incarnation of the Transylvanian vampire. But its influence, from technical innovation to expressionistic lighting style, spreads far beyond the terror genre. The horror genre, even. The imposing shadow of Max Schreck, whose surname means fright in German, is as iconic as movies are ever likely to get. So for me, I mean, there's too many jump scares for me, personally.
Oh, yeah. It was just constant. It was just constant jump scares. Just want to touch upon, there is a film called The Shadow of the Vampire, which is like a 90... It's like in the 90s. It stars Willem Dafoe. And it's like a meta sort of... supposed to be like about the making of this film. John Malkovich in it as well. but then it kind of like has got some horror elements in it as well. So it's like a.
Does John Malkovich play the Nosferatu?
John Malkovich plays the director, and Willem Dafoe plays Nosferatu.
Oh yeah, Willem. I imagine both of their faces coming together quite well to make Nosferatu's face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a combination of their face. Like if it was possible for two men to breed in that way,
yeah,
they'd be able to create Nosferatu. Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you? You mentioned the sound.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, the soundtrack I had was intense. It was intense. It was grating. It was loud. I mean, I know I could turn the volume down, but still, it was just inconsistent. During some of the moments, there was just like, I just had to turn it down.
Well, you were gramming it. You were Instagramming it on your live story thing, and yeah. I heard that version that you were listening to, and it was like a guy who'd swallowed a recorder being raped.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And I was just like during a really normal scene of like Count Orlok riding a bloody like a horse and carriage. It was just nuts. And I was like, God, I did sort of Instagram story it while I was watching just because I found it amusing. Taking a piss out of the film, but I just found it a bit amusing. There are a lot of crazy facial expressions.
Yeah.
And you've got so much time to sort of like, I mean, this film's like 90 minutes long, but obviously because it's silent.
45 minutes of that is, 45 yeah, minutes, that's just I read that something that was going to be a quiz question that isn't, was, because I didn't really believe it, but now you said that, I think I do. They said Nosferatu is only, Count Orlok is only 9 minutes of footage. And that can't be true because I'm sure he's in it for ages running around and stuff. But that's 45 minutes of the film is just text. Like, it's just like they hold on the text for so long.
So he's only in it for 9 minutes.
Apparently. But it felt like longer than that. So this is the third Dracula.
Yeah.
The same story, basically, the third time. So I'll be honest, I was watching this and I'm a little bit bored of the Dracula story now. Like, I feel like I'm being forced to study the Dracula. I feel like this is how they made Blade hate vampire kind and want to kill them all by making him watch every single version of Dracula. He's like, fuck those vampires.
Him and his mate, we're doing a podcast.
Yeah.
And oh, for God's sake, these vampires. Blade, you're half vampire. You know that, don't you? I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just a bit sick of the story. But, I mean, I did enjoy the film. I mean... I will say I did space out a few times. Also, the text, I don't know about in your version, but the font was kind of difficult to read in some places. The main character, who wasn't kind of like the guy called Hutter, I thought he said Butter. For most of the film, I thought his name was Butter until I read this thing. And even now, like looking at it now, I know his name's actually Hutter.
He's as smooth as butter.
I mean, I can't believe it's not Butter.
It's not Hutter Butter.
Yeah.
Hutter's Butter. So it was... I know when it comes to the story of Dracula, I mean, I know I haven't really enjoyed either of the Draculas we've watched to a huge degree.
Yeah.
But I kind of like... I'm kind of sick of the story anyway, but I think that's just because... Like, I tried to read the book a couple of times in my life, and I think I've never actually finished it. I was never a fan of, like... I think the first Dracula film I saw was, like, the 90s, the 92. Is it the 92?
Yeah, I
like that one as a kid. And I just think now, I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful to Bram Stoker because obviously it's horror royalty. He is, and this film is. And his book is. But I kind of just think once you've seen so many iterations of it, the story kind of like loses its like integrity. It's like structural. It doesn't feel... like as good, really, when you think about it, when you strip away all of the pomp and everything, like what is it really? Just a man
who wants a house next to a pretty lady,
and he went next to a pretty lady because he wants to suck her blood out.
It's not Shakespeare, like, you know, Shakespeare plays get adapted all the time, but like Shakespeare has like this kind of high drama elements that I don't feel like this story definitely has. I mean, they're remaking it again, Nosferatu, not Dracula, but his name, Robert Eggers, the guy who made Witch, is remaking Nosferatu. I'm still going to watch it, but I don't need to see the story much anymore. I will say the music in my version was pretty good. I watched the for people out there who know this kind of thing, Kino Lorber, I think they're a big Blu-ray label sort of thing, but their version was streaming on Shudder, and it was really high quality. Like it looked like looking at daguerreotypes. You know what daguerreotypes are? They're like the very first type of photographs where it's like a raised surface or something. Like it's so high quality, and the music was really, really good. So I feel like I did get a better version. Was yours completely black and white, or did it have the shadings?
Add some shadings, yeah. Okay. There's like blue, a lot of blue going on.
Yeah, like blue for night, yellow for indoor lit scenes.
Was there green?
I don't remember any green.
No, I don't remember any green.
Yeah. I'm sure there's another colour.
Yeah.
Ran out of felt tips.
Okay. We're out of felt tips. Nosferatu, go. I'm in the makeup. I can't go to the stationery shop. Yeah. Get yourself down to the stationery shop, Shrek. What's his name?
Mike Shrek. Oh, Count Orlok. No, Shrek. Oh, the director. Yeah, Shrek.
His name is actually Shrek.
Okay. So the key player, speaking of Shrek, Max Shrek plays Graf Orlok. He's the vampire. He's Dracula. Call Dracula for what do you call it? Copyright reasons or something. No. Gustav von Wangenheim plays Hutter, not Butter. Greta Schroeder plays Ellen, seine Frau, it says here, whatever that means. And Alexander Grenache plays Knock. Yeah, and you know I do love a good chocolate Grenache.
Yeah, he was off his nut, this guy. This guy stole every scene. He was...
he wasn't off his nut. Yeah, he's a creepy guy.
That's how I imagine him sounding. Well, of course, yeah. Like that.
There was a point in this film when I started to do voices.
Did you?
Yeah, but it was just like mumbles. Like I think I was doing a bit like my anime voices.
In your head, you're thinking, I'm damn good at this.
I was thinking someone should do like a YouTube series of these when they do the voices for him.
Yeah, oh, it'd be good. I like that. Enjoy that. I bet that exists.
Yeah.
Sounds too good an idea to not exist.
Yeah. So we start the story with Thomas Butters. It's not in England. It's in Germany. They've changed the location. And he's collecting some flowers, taking them back to his wife. Mm-hmm. We introduce them. They're very animated in the way they like each other. Thomas is like constantly like... Like, but you can't hear him, obviously.
That is great. But, and he's always like grabbing her and hugging her.
Yeah.
Like,
I was getting some Rick Mayall vibes from him. His face is so like animated,
his face
and snarly.
So expressive.
Yeah.
He had a massive head like dropped their Fred at one point. It was like, whoa, Jesus.
So he obviously he's in love with his wife, Frau Seiner, and then Knock, his employer, who. Yeah.
Works at like some sort of
estate agency or something. Yeah.
He works at estate agents. He works at Greenwoods down on the High Street.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, look, I just got this email from Count Orlok.
I just got this email from Count Orlok. Bloody hell. He's copied everyone into it.
Tweeted me. He wants a house. You should go over there and you should sell him that massive fuck off warehouse across the street there. It looks like a big rundown sort of
yes, it's massive, isn't it? He's looking for a lovely house.
He just wants a quaint little house. Sell him that factory.
You sell him that factory over there, yeah. Bloody hell.
It looks like the kind of place that they buy in Manchester and do offer flats. Super expensive. So Hutter like goes, yeah, alright, sure. But I've got a wife, and then Knock's like, yeah, just leave that with your mates. Leave that at your mate's house or whatever.
Leave your wife at your mate's house.
Well, yes. <that's, laughs> Like, he doesn't just leave her at home. He says he has to leave her under the care of someone
God.
Else. Yeah.
Is everything all right with her?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure she's supposed to be fine. But she's a woman, you know? She's a woman in the 20s. You can't trust what they're going to get.
Well,
lost.
No, she's not just a woman in the 20s. This film's set in 1838.
Oh, right. See, yeah.
Which is weird to think, because 1838 feels like a long time ago. Obviously, it is a long time ago. But in 1922, it was like, it was still a long, long time ago.
Nearly 100 years.
Yeah. Which is mad. I mean, I know I'm not sounding like I'm making the most sense here. No, what? There's time, the constructs of time, and there's years. And it just feels weird to think it's set in 1922, but like, Sorry, set in 1838, but it was made in 1922.
When they were watching it at the time, they were like, oh, wow, this takes place over 100 years ago. And then we're like, they made it over 100, about 100 years ago.
Yeah. God. My God.
My God, gosh. So, Hutter, look, we get the standard Dracula story. He goes over to Transylvania. He goes to get some soup or something. And then he goes, I'm going to pop over to...
He goes to have a lovely bit of oxtail soup at the local inn for dinner. Yeah, this is when it's all like blue when he sort of turns up.
Yeah.
And then the locals kind of become frightened at the mention of Orlok's name. He's like, I'm off to see the big bad Orlok. Yeah. And they go, whoa, don't travel there, especially at night, because there's a
werewolf. There's that kind of like silence thing, you know, like when you're in a pub thing, like in American Werewolf in London, and they mention something, and then everything goes quiet, and everyone looks around. It's like that, but it's a silent film. It doesn't quite have the same effect. But then they say you can't go outside because there's a werewolf outside. And then they show this like weird cat thing running around outside.
There's a werewolf out there. Oh, God, give it a break. Jesus. Yeah. What other things to worry about? So he takes like a coach to Orlok's house. And then when they get like fairly close, the coachman's like, I ain't taking you any further, mate. Because, you know, you got to pay me a little bit more for that. Yeah. And he just goes, oh, get out then.
That's Count Orlok, isn't it? Who's doing the... Oh, no, it's not yet. He picks him up.
He picks him up. He comes and picks him up. He knows he's there. I don't know how he knows that. But he arrives in his Uber and says, look, hop in. I'll take you to the crib.
Yeah. So he takes him. Obviously, you can tell right away he's a vampire. Like, he doesn't even hide it very well.
Like, no, he's got like...
no transformation, really.
No, he's got at on, doesn't he, in this?
Yeah.
So he's got
at on.
What kind of hat has he got on? He's got like a weird black chef's hat, and he's keeping a load of Jaffa cakes under there, just like a little stack of them, just in case he needs to get there.
He looks like an idiot, like the way he so when he welcomes Hutter into his house, and Hutter's like talking to him, and he's got such a blank expression. He looks like Hutter must be thinking, fucking hell. This guy must have come into had this money come down. He didn't make this money himself. He's a fucking idiot. So slow, the way he moves around.
And what have you got on your head, mate? I mean, I don't know if anyone's telling you this, but you look like a dick. And he's gone, oh, well, I've just got this done. He made it himself.
It's my hat.
It's my hat. It's my favourite hat. Because to be fair, his cranium underneath is just his little domed cranium.
Yeah.
Maybe he's thinking, like, the look he's got going on.
Got sideburns as well, hasn't he?
Little fluffy sideburns with the nose and the teeth and the piercing eyes. Maybe he's thinking, I don't want to round it off with a little bold bonce. So maybe I should just...
I've got shiny to try pats.
Yeah. You know when someone's not got a personality, so they become, like, a hat or, like... Yeah. Or, like, I was saying that while I'm wearing a hat.
Yeah.
Well, they've not got a personality, but they like they're a hat, or they're like an item of clothing, or like some sort of like thing that they carry around. Oh, yeah. just this chiffon scarf or something like that. Yeah, that's what reminds me of Shrek, or Mr. Count Orlok. He's got a hat on because he's just like he's got it on a jaunty angle because he's got no personality. That's what I think anyway.
But then he does take the hat off very quickly, doesn't he? When he
It's because he becomes comfortable around Hutter, I think. I think if he sees him, he's not a threat. Yeah. I can show him my true self around this. I'll take at off.
Yeah. So they're doing the deals or something. Hutter's like, look, we've got this fuck off house thing. Yeah. Next door to where I live. I live in a small house. There's this fuck off warehouse thing here. You can have this one if you want it. But he cuts his finger on a bread knife or something, and it all looks straight on it. Straight on it.
Oh, I think I've just cut my Jesus Christ, so I'll like, give it a break.
Yeah, the way he's doing it, he grabs his tucks on his thumb. It's way too sexual.
Yeah.
Hutters must be thinking, ooh.
Oh God. Do I have to? Is this how the deal's gotta be done, is it?
God. Yeah. Go on then.
Go on then. Go on then.
Take it.
He's
take
doing it to prolong his career. Hashtag time's up.
Yeah.
So time's up on you, Orlok.
So he sucks his thumb off.
Sucks his thumb off.
Yeah. He goes to bed, doesn't he? I think he
Yeah, I think he goes to bed, but then when he wakes up the next morning, the castle's deserted. Like it's basically like he wakes up and he has to do the walk of shame, because he wakes up and he's got like fresh punctures in his neck, which is annoying.
It's interesting that the punctures in this, on the front, because obviously this is the first vampire film. Yeah. The punctures are on the front of the throat, which
that's horrible, though, isn't it? Like, imagine that. I was trying to imagine that, like someone biting you on the front of the front. On the sides, bad enough, but on the front of the throat.
On the side, it's kind of like, you know, when someone breathes on your neck, there, it's kind of nice. On the Adam's apple.
Yeah, on the Adam's apple. Ow! You think about what Count Orlok's fangs are like as well. They're like two horrible prongs in the front of his... like, right at the front of his... Like, his two front teeth are like his horrible prongs.
He looked like he could bite a man through a letterbox.
How did you... Like, I used to think... This is probably just my stupid brain. But when I was like younger, I used to think vampires would like bite with their teeth and like suck the blood through their teeth for some reason. But obviously they just...
I think they just pop a
little
vein,
wound, and then I don't know why I also used to think that.
I don't think the Adam's apple was the best place to do it. I think the side of the neck, it'd be interesting to know when that started to happen on the side of the neck.
Yeah. Someone had to make that decision, and then it lasted forever in vampire lore.
Did they mention it in the book? Do you remember?
I don't remember now.
I do not recall. Okay.
I do not recall.
So I'm going to be forgetting bits here, but there's a point where... they're doing the deal, and Thingy shows Orlok a picture of his wife. Yeah. And then Orlok goes, "Ooh, your wife has a lovely neck."
Hello.
He literally says, "Your wife has a lovely neck." And then Hutter's like, "Ha ha ha ha." Because that's what he does all the time.
You're right. She does have a lovely neck. Yes. Yeah. And then it just gets awkward and they stare at each other for way too long.
Yeah.
And then they kiss. No, I've done that.
Also, he says that he thinks that the teeth marks on his neck are mosquito bites.
He's off his nut, isn't he?
Yeah, strange.
I mean, where he is in Transylvania, isn't he?
Yeah.
Do they have mosquitoes in Transylvania?
Yeah, I bet. Oh, I don't know.
Is that a common thing? He doesn't strike me as a very like well-traveled man, Hutter.
No.
I imagine this is his first business trip, possibly the first time he's been out of Germany, and he's just out of his depth. To be quite frank,
he looks like he's at his death constantly. Like I know I said Orlok was an idiot, but Hutter looks like a fucking idiot as well. So, I don't know if it's just the way, you know, it's a silent movie and you have to overreact to stuff for people to understand. Yeah. He's happy about that.
Exactly,
I can tell because he's wildly doing that.
Yes, I'm so happy right now.
Yeah.
No, I'm very, very angry.
Yeah.
There's no subtleties, and you can't have like a really nuanced performance where like, oh, I just saw the moment is heartbroken. Oh,
yeah, you can't have Daniel Day-Lewis in this.
Can't have Daniel Day-Lewis in this, no. Exactly. So you have to go a bit OTT. But I bet people were loving it back in the day. I bet people going, he is an absolute talent.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really showing us that he's happy. Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Maybe that's why I'm getting the Rick Mayall vibes, because Rick Mayall was incredibly over.
Yeah.
Every single facial expression was like over the top. Which is why it was amazing. But so what happens now? So he wakes up and Orlok's gone. Oh yeah, so he goes, I think I've been bitten by a vampire, because he reads this book. It's like the who's who on vampires or something.
Well, he's basically doing the old school version of Googling your symptoms there.
Is that you're going to die. Oh shit.
I'm reading a book about vampires.
Yeah.
I've definitely been bitten by a vampire. I mean, he has.
Yeah,
but like he's jumping to conclusions because again we're supposed to believe he's never come across a vampire before. He don't know what they are. He's just reading a book and he's got two little marks on his neck and he's thinking, bloody hell.
Yeah,
I've googled the symptoms and it's AIDS.
So he goes to check on Orlok in the basement.
Yep.
He finds him snoozing in the coffin and he passes out because he's like completely shocked.
Oh Jesus!
And then
Hutter.
And that's the end of Act One, I think. Yeah. Around here anyway, it's either this is the end of the next one or when they load up all of Orlok's coffins, because he's got more than one. Some are filled with dirt.
Isn't there this bit around about now though, that before he sees him in the coffin, doesn't he see him like turn up a little bit before? He like sees him, he comes into his room, doesn't he?
Because around about the
same time, Ellen sort of at her crib, obviously in Germany, she wakes up and kind of goes into a weird trance, walks along the sort of balcony, and almost falls off. But then some dude, who's the dude?
That's his mate who's left her with.
That's his mate,
look
yeah.
Look after
his
me,
mate.
Missus.
Look
mate.
After me, missus, and then she's bloody falling off bloody balcony.
Yeah.
I told you, look after her. You're doing the bloody opposite. I'm going to fucking come back there. I'm going to fucking knock you out, bastard.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hutter's the badass.
He saves her.
Yeah.
And then she... And but, she kind of reckons that she saw Orlok threatening her unconscious husband, didn't she?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, something like that. I don't really know too much.
And I think then is the bit where we see Hutter exploring the castle after that. Okay. I think he's convinced at this point now that Orlok is a dirty vampire bastard.
He's a Nosferatu.
He's a Nosferatu.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm going to go find him. So he finds where he's resting. And okay. Yeah, and then a little bit later is when we see Orlok piling coffins onto his coach, like super, super sped up. Is it sped up for you?
I think so. Yeah.
And then he does a weird thing where, like, the last coffin, he like gets in, doesn't he?
So there's like four or five coffins, right?
Yeah, and he gets in one, but then the lid of the coffin like just floats up and closes itself.
And it's like stop motion animation the way they do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just think, calm down a lot. You're just using up all your energy for the day, just like running back and forth, putting these coffins on the coach. I enjoyed that bit. And then Hutter, after the coach departs, Hutter like escapes the castle.
He climbs down.
He climbs down, but he falls.
Right.
And sort of KOs himself. So he climbs down using the classic get the duvet cover and tie it to a sheet and tie it to the any climb.
Never work. Never tried it. I might have to give it a go.
I never tried it, but I would like to try it. I feel like if I was in that scenario, I'd take the benefits of it, or that I'd get to try that thing. climbing down the sheets and stuff. I'd just be awful and have like two sheets and just have to climb down and then hang and just fall to my death.
I imagine
that was worth it.
I imagine it would work. I just don't know how many, because you only have one bed sheet. Do you know what I mean? Like one bed sheet and one duvet. You can't. And I don't think duvets were tied knots properly because they're so fat.
Imagine I tied such a terrible knot.
Yeah.
You get the duvet cover and then maybe the pillowcases.
That's a little bit of length.
That's a little bit lengthy. You'd have like maybe if you've got four pillows length.
Okay, now we're talking.
Maybe you'd have some spare ones in the cupboard. Maybe you have a spare one of each.
Spare set, yeah. And then
the last bit is just your pants.
Yeah.
Last bit's your pants. That's the bit you hold on to.
Yeah. I wish I took them off first. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then you've got to jump at that point.
You've got to jump, yeah. And that's what he does. But obviously Hutter, because he's a bit of a knob, knocks himself unconscious and wakes in the hospital, which is nice. But I think who found him? Because
the werewolf. Yeah, you're right. Because they didn't go there, did he?
No one goes there. So who found him? Like someone just goes, oh, bloody hell. The postman turns up with Orlok's Amazon packages.
What's this? Yeah, there's Amazon Prime guy.
Hey, man. I tell you what. Orlok's bloody knocked himself clean out here, lad.
And then and then he puts a shipping label on him to get back to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just on his forehead.
then, so that's end of Act 1, I think. Act 2, the majority of this, I believe, they're on the ship. So it's like the pirates who've obviously got like fake pirates, not pirates, sailor men. They're on the ship and they've got like the big fluffy beards and stuff and the pipes and the
bloody hell. Captain Birdseye. One of them's got like proper chops. He looks like Wolverine.
Yeah. He was Wolverine, I think. Logan, like old man Logan.
He was the original Wolverine, I think. Yeah, he was cast. And then, as we know, Logan doesn't age. Well, he ages very slowly, sorry.
Yeah.
So clearly he was around for the whole thing. It is Hugh Jackman, I think.
Yeah. Yes, Hugh Jackman. And there's a load of these sailors sailing. And they, I think we just get some text every now and again, as sort of sailing across the seas, saying like some of them are getting really sick. They're dying. Yeah. Loads of them dying.
Yeah, they kind of get sick one by one, and then eventually, like all but the captain and the first mate are dead. I think there's loads of rats knocking about, so they think there's some sort of plague. I don't really know.
And there's the Captain Birdseye / Logan goes, right, stay here, mate. I'm gonna sort out this flipping rat problem or something. He goes to get an axe, goes down, starts chopping at the board of one of the coffins. And then is this a bit where Orlok does the, from lying down and put him on strings or something and they pulled him up? The only example I can give to people is I was thinking Dumb and Dumber, where... where Jim Carrey gets knocked down in his dream sequence and he goes, oh,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. That's pretty much it. I think that's where he got it from and improved on it, if anything.
He goes, hello, I was just sleeping here because he's an idiot.
I was trying to have a little sleep.
He sounds like Joker. He goes, so it's Hugh Jackman versus the Joker, Logan versus the Joker here. And then I don't understand this bit because the captain, before he goes down, he ties a rope around himself to the steering wheel.
Yeah.
What would you call that on a boat?
the steering wheel.
Yeah.
The wheel. I don't know. the big bad stick, the lever interiors.
Yeah. The gear stick. And then he goes down, the handbrake. He goes down. What's that for? Is he going to pull on it three times? And then the other guy's going to pull him up.
I don't really know. I think you've got claws in your bloody hands, mate. Just use them, mug.
Yeah. Yeah, this is before his mutant X gene or whatever.
It's the early days when he had just bone claws.
Got
it.
That's a good point. okay. So he gets killed, I think, somehow. I don't really see it happen.
I think they find him dead.
Yeah.
And then they find the logbook. And then the doctors or whoever's involved decides that there's the plague. All these people died of the plague when obviously it was actually
Orlok
being a dirty, rotten, sick fool.
Hello, I'm Orlok. I'm doing dirty, rotten stuff.
Alan Rickman.
No. I'm Orlok.
I'm not going to even attempt. I'm not even going to attempt to do it. So then the town that they're in, which is obviously where... It's where Hutter lived, wasn't it? Is that town they arrive in?
The same, yes. It's the same, yeah.
The town like panics and thinks, bloody hell, the plague's here, the plague's coming to get us.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, suddenly we've got Nock. Obviously, Hutter's...
I understand in the novel and in the previous versions of Dracula Watched, that guy, whoever, I can't remember what his actual name is in the thing, goes crazy and he starts talking about eating rats and stuff. The Nock is just like a random... Why is he starting to go crazy?
He just randomly is in a psychiatric ward.
I look a bit like Nosferatu, so now I am crazy.
Yeah, and he escapes the psychiatric ward after murdering like the warden.
Starts swinging on bars like a monkey.
Yeah, and then there's like some weird chase sequence where townspeople are chasing him, and then he climbs on a roof, and then he's like using Scarecrow for something. Is like,
yeah, it's really weird. Yeah, it's running around all this while. I believe it's around here. We've got a shitload of Orlok running around the town with his coffin.
Carrying his coffin, like it's like an inflated mattress.
Yeah,
it weighs nothing.
Like it's a Lilo.
It's like a Lilo, yeah, exactly. Oh, I just want to find somewhere to just have a lovely swim.
He's running around this like town with this thing for ages.
Basically, at this point, the soundtrack was just so basically any fear I may have had of this film was completely ruined by the soundtrack. Simply because when on moments like this where he's running around, it was basically the Benny Hill theme. There was no other way to. There was no other way to describe it. It was nuts.
Yeah. Soundtrack is pretty important. I'm glad I watched the one I did watch because it was pretty good. And I was actually getting some Tim Burton sort of vibes from the soundtrack I was listening to. I mean, it still sounded very much like, you
Big
know,
Bad old... Danny Elfman, was it? Danny Elfman did it.
They were singing. It was like The Nightmare Before Christmas. It was that watching Sweeney Todd.
Oh, right, okay.
There's loads of song and dance. Friends. Yeah.
I'm going to slit your bloody throat, mate.
Is that the rap version? I've not heard that one.
Yeah, that's the hardcore version. That's the hard grind version.
Pretty women. Pretty women. Bit more Alan Rickman. Okay.
A little bit more.
Alan.
Just say Potter.
I can't say Potter, that's the problem. I can only say no.
Go on, Ed.
No. Potter. I can't do the T. To get into that position, my tongue has to be a very certain way. Okay. So we're coming towards the end now. All the while, so I think they catch Nock, maybe. Yep. I'm a bit confused. And then Nock turns out to be one of those drunks who go to Weatherspoons at 10 a.m. for special brew ale or something. He looks like the kind. And then...
doing a crossword.
Nosferatu, he moves into his house, the big fuck-off warehouse house that's opposite where Thingy lives, and he keeps looking out the window like an absolute perv, really.
Yeah, basically like a perv. He's just got the curtains, he's got his hands against the window, and you can't see his bottom half, so God knows what's going on there. I know his hands are at the window, but maybe he's mastered the art of hands free, because, you know, he is a bit of a supernatural being, and I'm sure he can do stuff like that.
So how does this work? So is Hutter back yet? Is Hutter back from his hospital trip?
I think Hutter, he doesn't come back until sort of Rose is sort of passed out. So she goes to her window and invites Orlok in.
Rose, is that
her? Come in, Orlok. Did I say Rose? Ellen.
Ellen, right, okay. I didn't know her name at all.
Did I say Rose?
I think maybe, I don't know.
Who knows, mate? Who bloody knows what's going on in my mind? She invites him in. Come in, why don't you? Please have some tea. Even though he's like a pervert, dirty pervert. Obviously, she's under the influence of his eyes and ears and teeth. And
How can you resist?
I wish he was wearing his hat at this point, because I thought I miss that hat.
Yeah,
miss it when he had that on. So she invites him in, but then she faints.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Does
well, so he starts sucking on her blood. But she got a note and the book about vampires from Hutter before he got conked out. And in the book, it says something about if you distract a vampire for long enough, you flirt with him for long enough, eventually the sun will come up. So he's sucking on his blood.
Eventually the sun will come up. Well, if you start distracting him and it's 7 p.m., just as the sun's gone down, I'm going to start distracting you now. 12 hours later.
You're going to have to roofie him or something to keep him going.
Yeah.
Put some Viagra in his coffee. And then... so, yeah, that's what she did. So he's sucking the blood and then the sun comes up. He pops. And that's about it. Hutter turns up.
Yeah, so he disappears into he actually fades away. His opacity level goes down. And then suddenly there's a little puff of smoke. So obviously they have mastered. We've seen a lot of vampires or Draculas burn into a cinder.
This is the first time, apparently. The sun.
But this is obviously the first time, yeah. So it was very interesting to see sort of how he dealt with it. And it would have been interesting to see sort of what the options were back in those days. Back in their days.
So this is the first time that a vampire has been killed by sunlight. It wasn't a thing before this film.
Oh, right. Yeah, I see.
It was more potential trivia I was looking at.
Interesting.
So I didn't know that she died at the end. I thought that she wakes up. But looking through the summary, the plot summary, it does say she lives long enough to be embraced by her grief-stricken husband. That's it. And then it shows there's a last shot of Orlok's castle in ruins.
Yeah, and then DIY SOS starts. And as they come over the thing, go, we're going to sort out Count Orlok's bloody ruined castle.
Holmes under the hammer.
Holmes under the hammer. His body, the opacity level dropped on him and he vanished into a puff of smoke.
And
so we're
going to
sort his past life.
Yeah. We're going to turn his life upside down.
Then it gets really emotional towards the end. You know, there's always a sob story.
Well, I was a vampire and I thought I'd try my luck in England, but then I got killed by the sun.
Oh, God.
I imagine he talks like Richmond from IT Crowd.
Richmond, oh, yeah. The sun. Oh!
Okay. So, trivia. You ready?
Yes.
Nosferatu is a sequel to what? This isn't even on my list, but I just thought I'd ask you right now. Nosferatu is a sequel to what film?
Is it Nosferatu?
Nosferatu 1, yes.
Nosferatu 1, oh, got you. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
I haven't seen that one. Is that one better?
Yeah, it's pretty much non-existent. Okay, the real number one of this quiz. Nosferatu means vampire in Romanian. True or false? In Romanian.
In Romanian.
True question.
Does it? True.
Nope.
Goddamn!
It's the Stoker, Mrs. Bram Stoker, thought it did, which is why he has that word in the book, but it doesn't actually mean that. It means something about insufferable or repugnant one. It's just a curse for like demonic looking things. Yeah.
Suitable, though.
Yeah, it still works, yeah. Okay. Number two, Max Schreck was also the name of a character from a thing. Can you name the thing?
Yes, I do know this.
Do you?
Because I Googled him and then it came up. It is a name of Christopher Walken's character in Batman Returns.
It is, yeah. I did the same thing. I Googled him and then Christopher Walken came up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, okay, number three. Count Orlok appears in what children's cartoon?
Children's cartoon?
Count Orlok from this film. Max Schreck's Captain Orlok. Count...
That's what he did. He killed the guy on the ship, and he's like, well, I killed you now. You're the captain, so now I'm the captain now.
Yeah.
That's what he said. I don't know. Hotel Transylvania? Is that too obvious? I don't know. Like a cartoon, like what, like a kids' cartoon, or like a
standard kids' cartoon.
So not a film. Episode.
No, not a film.
He was in episode of Scooby Doo.
You gave him Scooby Doo?
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't have done. It's wrong. He showed up in an episode of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh God, I've never got that. You could have had me guessing for a month.
You would have got it within the month. So yeah, there's an episode where they've been scared by something all night. And then someone's been flickering the lights on and off or something, and it turns out to be Nosferatu, and he's suddenly in the corner of the room, like with his big wide eyes, like turning the light on and off. It's pretty funny. What is the werewolf? Number four. So, what animal is the werewolf?
You said it was a cat.
Well, yeah, I could have just been trying to throw you off.
A wolverine. Tasmanian devil. Usually people think werewolves are like a big cat or something, like in folklore, don't they? Like it's usually like a black panther.
You saying the black panther?
Yeah, go on, black panther.
That thing that you saw in this film, you thought was a black panther.
I can't remember what the thing was. Okay. When you said it was a cat, I must
have I've thrown you off. Completely.
I think I was looking away from a screen at that point. Yeah. What was it?
A striped hyena.
Oh,
running around. Yeah, it didn't look like a black panther.
I don't remember.
Chadwick Boseman.
I think I looked away. Chadwick Boseman, Wakanda Forever. It's just outside the...
Okay, then fire the last question. Who hates this film the most? Who hates this film the most? True or false?
True.
No, it's not true or false. It's an actual question. Who hates this film the most?
Who hates this film the most? Bram Stoker?
Close. It was Mrs. Stoker. So Bram Stoker died. But they use this film without her permission, their estate's permission. And they were, and the, most of the advertising they said based on Bram Stoker's Dracula. And she was like livid. So she won the lawsuit. She said all known prints and negatives were burned. She burned them all. This has got a film in it, but like different cut stuff just kept on showing up in different places of the world. She was hunting him most of her life, and eventually the film won because it just, you know, couldn't get rid of all of them. And people were making new ones and stuff from the negatives, which is probably why there's like so many like weird different versions of it as well. And
yeah,
it's weird. Yeah, man, I think you got 5 out of 5 in that one, maybe. Who knows?
Definitely.
You got to grade the film.
We're in a difficult position to grade the film, considering we've seen two versions of Dracula on this list already. I think neither of us are kind of like massively set on the film, so it's going to be like, I'm probably going to feel unfair to give it a grade based on the sort of legacy of the film and the actual. I think the soundtrack ruined a lot for me, so maybe if I watched it with a different version of the soundtrack, because I was kind of like, what is going on? This is just, it felt like it was almost unwatchable because of it. But I'm not going to go giving it the dirtiest rating. based on that, because I can still understand sort of everything that's gone into it for a film in 1922, the iconic nature of like some of the imagery, and obviously it was ahead of its time, I guess.
Yeah.
What it was, and it's like a classic story. I'll probably go for a C-.
Ooh, I'm going to give it a C+. Same sort of thing. I recognize, you know, the importance of it, but just in terms of like how every version of Dracula we've watched recently has felt like it's getting a little bit more tired, like a little bit more worse. I'm just a bit tired of the story now, but it is good. And I will say I preferred, by quite a way, Dr. Caligari. In terms of the silent films we've watched, really did prefer Dr. Caligari.
I completely forgot about that. I can't remember
It was the expressionistic look of Dr. Caligari, which this one didn't really had a bit of that, but didn't have like the painted scenery in there.
What year was Dr. Caligari? 5?
Let's have a look. It's going to be a similar sort of answer.
So it was 1920 is older.
Yeah, I preferred Dr. Caligari. And also because I didn't know the story, that might have been, you know, helpful.
Yeah.
And like a twist
we didn't watch two versions of Dr. Caligari before this.
Yeah. But, you know, it's still okay. I mean, I still enjoyed watching this, but just in the context of this podcast, I am giving it a C+.
Yeah. Very nice.
So next week, we are going to be doing 1993's Bram Stoker's Dracula, which is the Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh God! If that happens, I'll just quit the podcast immediately. Dracula films. How many have there been? 100.
100.
There's like 100 Dracula films. Scars of Dracula, Satanic Rites of Dracula, Taste the Blood of Dracula. There's been loads, mate. Had enough now.
Yeah.
Don't make any more.
Well, there's a website that's got 55 Dracula movies you should see before you die. So once you finish this list, we should do the best 50 Dracula movies.
No,
I don't think so, no.
We should watch Blackula.
Is that meant to be quite good, I think?
I think it's supposed to be right, like the blaxploitation sort of ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds fun. Maybe we'll see. no guarantees.
We'll see.
Yeah. Okay, dude. So next week we're not asking you that. We're going to do a film that you suggested.
Yes.
You saw a short film or something. Is that right?
Yeah. So there's a short film called Cargo, which is being made into a feature length for Netflix, starring Martin Freeman. So I think it's out on Friday. So if you're listening to this, it should be Thursday. So it should be out tomorrow. There's like a post-apocalyptic zombie thriller, and it's about a father trying to save his like child who he's got on his back.
Yeah.
Not in like a piggyback Yoda way, but like carrying it in an official baby carrying device.
Papoose.
A papoose. That's what I meant. So it looks pretty cool. So we'll see what happens. I think it's been getting all right reviews. So yeah, we'll go for another new film next week, which is handy.
And then when we get back on the list, we've got like a horror comedy double bill coming up. We're not in the same show, but we've basically got Shaun of the Dead next week. And then Evil Dead 2 the next week. So that'd be nice. Yeah.
Well, it's a lovely Martin Freeman double bill, because I think he makes a small appearance in Shaun of the Dead, doesn't he?
Yeah, he plays like the Shaun equivalent.
That's right.
Yeah.
So a lovely Martin Freeman double bill. Who would have thought we were going to get that so close to the end of the top of like the top 10?
Wow, we're moving on to number 8 soon. How cool is that?
Do you feel emotional about that?
I think I actually might get, I might feel a little bit emotional when we get to like the last like two or three. Yeah. Because it's, we've been doing this for quite a while now.
You've been doing this for 10 years, Luke, now.
A year and a half, at least, I think.
Yeah.
But we'll get there.
We will. We will indeed.
Come on. All right. Let's wrap this up. So, the show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Go join the Facebook group. It's facebook.com/groups/ horror hangout board of advisors. Or just search in the Facebook searchy thing for horror hangout. I think it'll probably come up there. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Cowman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a 5-star rating review in iTunes, and remember to hit subscribe. And thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real Dracula fan.
And thank you, Luke, for also being a real Dracula fan.
I'm going to get you a big fuck off poster of Dracula.
Of all the Draculas merged into one poster.
It'll be that big fuck off house that he moves into, and then there's a big wall sized poster, and it'll be like a really tiny thing of him just looking at one of the windows.
I'll always feel like his eyes are on me. Yeah. And that's all I want.
Yeah. Cool, dude. All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.